Really, really good topics and some very lively first guests. Well, I've just had so much fun the last 10 or 15 minutes getting to know these folks for the first time. We're all wearing green. Of course, it's St. Patrick's Day. And then, gosh, 2 days from now, we get St. Joseph's Day. Our cup overfloweth this week. What color do you wear on St. Joseph's Day? I don't think there's a color for that. But here's what is on the agenda for today. I'm so excited, as I mentioned, second half of the program, we're going to be talking about the upcoming Ablaze Retreat. I remember when I, back in my single days, I was volunteering for Youth 2000. And this is such a blessing to high school kids. And there's going to be an Ablaze Retreat at Holy Family of Nazareth Parish next month. I think it begins, it's April 25th to April 27th. And I called my wife and said, honey, we got to get our daughter to this. We've got an 11th grade daughter. And so you'll definitely want to hear this. Father Eugene O'Donnell, there's a good Irish name for you, is going to be here in studio with us, along with Patty Hidalgo, who is on the organizing team. So that's what's coming up at about 35 after. And in about 10 minutes, I'm going to introduce you to Joe and Crystal Dooling. All right, D-O-O-L-I-N-G, Joe and Crystal Dooling, and they are representing Worldwide Marriage Encounter, and they have their own testimony of their own Worldwide Marriage Encounter, the first one they went on about 5 or 6 years ago, back in 2019, and they're going to encourage you to sign up as a married couple for the next Worldwide Marriage Encounter, which is coming up, I believe, in April as well. I've got my date here somewhere, but they'll be able to tell you about it. So next month, so you got plenty of time to register your kids for Ablaze and also married couples for Worldwide Marriage Encounter. And before that, I want to talk to Cecil about a few things. First of all, Cecil, I went to St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Grapevine for morning mass this morning. And Father Sojohn, and I hope I don't misrepresent him because I think this is what he said, is that in the Fort Worth Diocese, since St. Patrick is the patron or one of the patrons of the Fort Worth Diocese, I think there's a different designation in Fort Worth as most other dioceses today. I think in most dioceses it's an optional memorial, but in Fort Worth it's a feast day. And I don't know exactly what that means. I call it the Fort Worth Diocese, but I don't have an answer yet. But yeah, have you heard that, or are you familiar with that, that the difference in designation?
Yes, I have. And kind of in similar things, like you're saying, going to daily mass and it being more of a special topic. And I know in the past, I think sometimes if it's fallen on a Friday in Lent, there might be a dispensation has been given so that you can, you know, go out, have some meat and, you know, your corned beef and cabbage and have beer and whatever it is that you maybe have given up for Lent. I think I'm not sure what that means on a day that's not a Friday in Lent, other than just simply that we are, maybe all the parishes will use the optional memorial, you know, and everyone and we'll celebrate it that way in mass. But other than that, I'm not sure. So hope maybe someone listening does know.
Yeah. So if you know and you want to call us, we don't typically take calls in the show, or you can just email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. That might be the best way. I might even get the answer from the Fort Worth Diocese between now and the top of the hour when we close out the show. And all right, so that's that. And by the way, I printed out St. Patrick's breastplate, the prayer, and I think most of us know the, you know, Christ below me, Christ above me, Christ beside me, but it's a lot longer than that. You know, it starts with, I rise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through a confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation, and I printed it out. It's 3 pages long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you might want to go and search that out today and pray it. And that song, the breastplate of St. Patrick, I mean, oh my goodness, that's a powerful song. So whether you're Irish or not, whether you're married to an Irish woman like me or not, happy St. Patrick's Day. And our first guests are all decked out in green, and he has a pretty good Irish accent, which I'm going to ask him to do at the beginning of it. Okay, so Cecil, 1 week from today begins the Spring Share-a-thon with a theme of Talking Heaven. And we encourage everybody to call in, make a donation, support Catholic Radio so we can continue talking about cool Catholic Radio stuff and, you know, just spreading the good news. How are we doing on volunteers?
We definitely still have some spots open for volunteers with all of our shifts, but particularly I want to note our Thursday afternoon one. So that is Thursday, March 27th from 1 to 7 p.m. We are looking for volunteers then, especially with probably the leanest one that we have right now. What you do is you come in, we train you on how to answer the phone and put in a donor information. So they'll call up and make a donation. You get to speak with them, and it's a really fun experience. You get to hang out with us for 6 hours and a bunch of other volunteers, and there's always delicious food. We feed you very well if you come. So if you are able to make it, that we'd love for you to join us. The other times and dates of our shifts are Monday, March 24th. We have the afternoon shift from 1 to 7 p.m. And then Thursday, it's all day. We have it either 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. So if you're able to help with that, we would love it. If you're not able to come, but you still want to help us during the share-a-thon, we would appreciate it if you donate a meal or donate some funds for a meal. We have to feed the volunteers, keep them happy. So you can email us all about that at kath@grnonline.com. kath@grnonline.com. If you're on our email list, I will be sending out another email today. You'll get that information all again as well.
All right, so that is Monday the 24th through Friday the 28th next week, the whole week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I'm so excited about this theme because I was asked to do a talk about the theme of Talking Heaven. And I recorded it on Friday, and what I did was I said, well, what does the Catechism say about heaven? What does Scripture say about heaven? You know, there's one author of Scripture that almost all of our writing about heaven came from, and you probably can guess who that is. St. John, in both his Gospel and, of course, in the book of Revelation, says a lot about heaven. And then what I did was I took five well-known saints who had visions of heaven, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Faustina, and St. Don Bosco, and talked about what their visions were. And so this is going to be a gift that you'll get in your inbox for anybody who donates any amount, whether it be a penny or $100,000 next week. You'll send that. And it's not very long. It's only about 23 minutes or so. I thought it was going to be longer.
Yes, it's a good like, you know, short commute, like, listen, which is great.
I felt kind of guilty about it being so short, but I think people appreciate that.
Sometimes people like the shorter. 20 minutes is a really good sweet spot, so I think it's going to be great. And I got to listen to it already because I was the one recording it for Dave, enjoyed it.
All right. Well, thank you. There's one endorsement. All right. So that's the Share-a-thon. And then we also have the 25th anniversary event coming up on Saturday, July 19th. That is only 4 months away of Wednesday, 4 months away. And I'm going to tell you, there will be a time when you try to register for this and you're going to get an automatic response saying it's filled. I promise you that's going to happen. So register. It's free. Father Chris Alar, Deacon Harold Brooke Sivers, a concert by Matt Maher. It's going to be at the Plano Event Center. We expect about 2,000 people there. Mass and adoration and relics. Debbie Giorgiani is going to be there. Jerry Usher, Adam Bly. I'm going to be the MC for the first half, and then they're going to fire me, and then Wyatt Goolsbee is going to come on for the second half. That's how it's going to look. It's going to look like, oh man, Dave. Really,
I think we should make it a dramatic thing on stage too.
Like have like a big like hook.
You mess something up, and then you're like, okay, goodbye.
Yeah, it's like, Dave, no, we're going to bring an expert in, okay? So, and then finally, the last thing I'll tell you about, unless Cicely, you have any other news or that you want to share, is the first ever Fishers of Men event for the Fort Worth station KCPP 1140 a.m. is going to be Saturday, October 25th. And I know that's a long ways from now, but we've already got a committee. We're already planning it. We have an honoree, Bishop Olson. We've got a speaker, Dr. David Anders. We've got a location, St. Patrick's Cathedral. And so please, whether you're in Fort Worth or not, there's nothing you can do because tickets aren't even for sale yet. So
save the date.
Please think about it, okay? Like write it on a piece of paper and a little sticky pad, Saturday, October 25th, but tickets are not. That will not be free, okay? That's going to be a paid-for event. It's a fundraiser. All right. Anything else, Cicely? Are we good? Are we covered?
I think we're getting covered. Just remember to support your local parishes on Friday nights at the Fish Fries. There's a lot of them going around, so make sure that you're showing up for the Knights of Columbus.
I went to a fish fry last Friday.
Oh, yeah?
And I think the first time I went to a fish fry in quite some time, because our parish normally has potlucks, but they're not necessarily fish fries.
Sure.
But it was like a real fish fry at St. Francis in Grapevine.
Nice.
I spent a lot of time in Grapevine. And I saw Father Sojourn there, and it was really good.
Yeah, I went to the St. Philip one a few weeks ago, and I will say one of my favorite things are the hush puppies. They were at the end of the night. I kept stealing all my friends' hush puppies. I was like, I kept grabbing them off their plates, and then they came around with a big bucket, and I had to use some restraint because I didn't think it was good in Lent for me to eat like a whole bucket of them.
Remind me never to go to a fish fry with you, because if you started grabbing my fish fries, it would be...
With their permission. I was like, are you going to eat those?
Yeah, those are awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And wow, we're right on time. It's 10 after noon, and this is the Good News Show. This is once a week we come live and we just tell you about cool things that are going on in North Texas. And for these next 20 minutes, I want to introduce you to, I feel like I spent 15 minutes with these two before the show, and I feel like they're my best friends. I mean, they're just such a fun couple, and I'm sure a lot of that funness has to do with the fact that they have a great marriage because they are involved in Worldwide Marriage Encounter, and they are Joe and Crystal Dooling, D-O-O-L-I-N-G, and officially their title is DFW East Texas Encounter Leaders. And welcome to you, and thanks for being here. Good to see both of you.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Thank you so much.
And you came in and you got these Irish shirts on, and you kind of were half joking saying you're Irish, and you got to do a little bit of your Irish accent. It's St. Patrick's Day. Can you do a little bit of that, Joe?
I can't imagine what you're talking about with an Irish accent. This is an accent.
and you think it sounds like the Lucky Charms guy?
Yes.
I always have to be Lucky Charms.
I'm married to a leprechaun.
Well, thanks for coming in. It's so great. I've had a number of opportunities in my radio career to interview couples about a marriage encounter, and I'm always edified and just blessed because I can really sense the love that y'all have, not only y'all but the other couples that have interviewed as well. But you all and by the way, the website wwme.org. Let me just read a real quick paragraph, and then I want to hear y'all's testimony and how Marriage Encounter changed your life. For more than 50 years, Worldwide Marriage Encounter has helped over 3.5 million with an M couples in almost 100 countries unlock the power of their relationships with new ways to do the I do. The Marriage Encounter experience helps you listen, share, and connect more deeply. There's no group discussion. It's just about the two of you learning to be the best, most loving, and thriving couple you can be. So y'all went in 2019. I'm curious, and Crystal, maybe you can explain this. What inspired you all to go, and was it like, was it hard to go on that first one, or what was your experience of you deciding to go in the first place?
Sure. So I'll share, and then Joe, if there's anything you want to add. Our picture's always fuller when we do both of the spouses,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
So we had a good marriage, but I felt like an area that we could grow in would be tools for communication. And I had heard that that's a takeaway from making a marriage encounter experience. So I said, hey, honey, what do you think? And he said, sure. And I got very excited that the husband said yes. Can't exactly show up without him. And I'd always thought that my communication was clear, but somehow with everyone except my husband, we'd have these flyaways, right? These flybys where I would talk about something and Joe would talk about something else. We wouldn't be on the same page. So I was very eager and earnest to learn how to fix this situation. So that was the motivation. And by the end of the weekend, we learned very practical, accessible tools that we can use daily. Sometimes people go on a weekend and it's a nice weekend. You get a binder and it goes on the shelf, right? But the only way, much like in the spiritual life, to have transformation is to live it and to make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so those tools are tools that we have been able to use daily since that weekend 5.5 years ago. So we're very grateful because it's something we can work on and fuel the fire every day.
Yeah. You know, I should have asked you this before we started, but how long have you been married and do you have children and ages? Yeah, Joe? Yeah.
Let's see. That was 2007. We are 18 years.
18 years.
I have to do the math.
Good quick math there.
Well,
children?
We have three boys, 17, 16, 15.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yes. You had a busy few years there,
yes.
huh?
Yes. We were very quick. Wow. And, very blessed.
Yeah, yes, awesome, absolutely. Awesome. So, all right, well, Joe, Crystal kind of gave her take on that first one in 2019 and, you know, what she got out of it. What's your perspective?
I was just looking for tools. It's like always looking for a way. Again, we weren't, I wouldn't say that there was anything wrong with our marriage,
mm-hmm.
but we knew there was more to it, and there was kind of this feeling to go, and so we were just when we'd hear about something, we'd try it, and so it's like, okay, that was nice. What else is there? And so we went on this one, and it was pretty transformative, I would say.
Yeah.
Mostly in how we communicate and learning to communicate deeper. And, you know, my initial thought is, you know, it's another one of those. Okay, let's go. But once we were on it, and by the end of it, it was, there was a big difference we could tell. We had talked with each other like never before. We talked about things never before reached.
Mm-hmm.
That we hadn't felt safe to do or...
you know, I wanted to, I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to ask you, because I love that you said that, both of you said, we didn't have a bad marriage. We had a good marriage, but it could be helped. And I wonder if there is sometimes a misconception among some people, because there's something called retrovi, which is for troubled marriages, even marriages that are on the brink of divorce. My understanding is that Marriage Encounter isn't really for that. I mean, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. Retrovi is for troubled marriages, but Marriage Encounter is really just to make good marriages or average marriages much better. Would that be accurate, Crystal?
Right. I would agree. I would say that's the biggest distinction between Marriage Encounter and Retrovi. Retrovi's primary goal or audience that it caters to is precisely if your marriage is in trouble, it's a beautiful and great movement to help in that capacity. But Marriage Encounter is for all married couples. It also counts, if you will, for convalidation. When a couple is going through the convalidation process, they need to go through a marriage retreat or preparation, and it is valid for that process as well. But you can be married. We've had couples married a month. We've had couples married over 40, 50 years come, because we're always growing, right?
Yeah.
And we're in different seasons, and the information touches us different depending on the season we're in our marriage.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to fall into stereotypes, but stereotypically, men tend to not communicate as well as women, okay? Stereotypically, it's not always the case. And I wonder, Joe, if that was the case with you. Y'all seem to both be very talkative people, but... And do you think that men in particular, when it comes to this communication issue, it's something that maybe we, especially as men, need to get better at? You know, what do you think about that?
Absolutely. And yes, I am that stereotypical man that my communication wasn't always the greatest. Probably still isn't. There are times you'll find she'll still ask me questions, and I'm still working on it. I need to come back with a response, because I tend to stop and think about things. I want to make sure I get the right words out, instead of just spitting things. But also, I'm much more of an introvert, and I can talk when you get me on a subject I like. A lot of times, especially when dealing with, you know, my feelings about a person or how I, you know, things about, you know, personal things, I like to keep a lot of that to myself. Naturally, so talking about it outside of that is a little unnatural for me, but
I'm a believer that opposites generally attract. I'm a lot more talkative than my wife is, and I think that's why, you know, like you say, you're more outgoing and you're more introvert, as you mentioned, Joe. And so all the more reason, because we bring into different, like, kind of communication skills into the marriage, and all the more reason to do something like this. What are some of the other, you refer to in an email you sent me about tools that you learned? And so, Crystal, do you want to mention some of the tools that y'all have used these last 5.5 years since going on your first one?
Sure. So just like anything, when we learn, there's framing and there's a lot to sort of explain that goes through the weekend. But I'll give you an example topic. One is called the decision to love. So any married couple, let's use the dishwasher as an example. Okay. In any married couple, someone will always say, this is the way you must load the dishwasher. And many a marriage has been in trouble with the issue of the dishwasher.
I laugh because it's something my
right?
wife and I...
And it's yeah. very relatable. Of course, there are many marriages who deal with more serious things. But dude, on a Monday, when you've had a long day, the dishwasher can be a point of contention mm-hmm. in the marriage. Yeah. So one of the tools is called decisional love. And the idea is that our relationship matters more than the point of contention.
Yeah.
So it's not about finding out, objectively speaking, who has truth on their side. Okay. This is not a doctrinal point. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a dishwasher, right? And so what matters more is, no matter what it is that is upsetting or frustrating one or both, I love you enough to look above the issue and say, you matter more to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not conceding. It's more a question of mindset and perspective,
yeah.
right? And so learning how to get there, and also learning more about oneself and our spouse and what that looks like in our relationship as a unit, and that the marriage is greater than either of us, right?
Yeah.
And that is the priority.
Yeah. Joe, you want to add anything to that? Or I'm trying to think of other ones besides loading the dishwasher, maybe like the temperature of the house or whether you get a pet or not. Or, you know, there's some things, smaller things that could cause, you know, potentially they can blow up, huh?
There's lots of things in a marriage. I mean, you've obviously got, you know, the big ones of money. But again, sometimes it's as simple as, you know, leaving, you know, the socks and underwear on the floor, the towel, yeah. you know, wet and on the floor, leaving things around the house, not picking things up, or even being, you know, sometimes maybe too fastidious. It's like, oh, look, there's a little grease spot that you didn't wipe up on the grill there. Why didn't you take care of that? It's very easy to get lost, especially when you spend so much time with one another, to start taking one another for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And taking what each other does for granted. And it's one of the tools that we're teaching you is to, you know, kind of look past those things and remember what you married this person for, that you're going to be spending your life together. And to step back, you know, when temperatures start to rise, remember to step back a little bit and go, hey, you know, is this really worth it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in my experience also is that when one couple does humble themselves and gives in, so to speak, for the sake of the marriage, the other one is touched, and they're going to be more likely to reciprocate, you know, and say, well, you know, they did humble themselves. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Worldwide Marriage Encounter. Joe and Crystal Dooling have been married for 18 years. They have three teenage sons, and they are the DFW East Texas Encounter leaders. There are three Marriage Encounter weekends that are scheduled for this year, including April 4th through 6th, July 11th through 13th, and October 17th through 19th. We'll talk more specifically as time allows about what exactly happens. I already mentioned this is not group sharing. This is a man and a wife, you know, sharing with each other and not with everybody else, which I think is people find very, very attractive. And, you know, one thing I'd love to point out is you mentioned in the email you sent me the impact Marriage Encounter has made on our children. Here you all have three teenage sons, and they are, you know, forming their mind. What does it mean to be a husband and a father one day? So maybe, Joe, this is a good question for you since you've got sons. How has Marriage Encounter helped your kids, or what would they say if they were here?
Well, they definitely said that they have, and it's one of the talking points we typically hit on, is they've actually noticed the difference in how we approach each other mm-hmm. since we've been on this weekend and since we've been a part of Marriage Encounter. And I would say that some of the tools for communication that we're using, they're using as well. And the tools that we use for communication can be utilized not just with your spouse, but with everyone that you deal with. And it's a way of, you know, almost being kinder, listening more attentively, paying attention to what the people are saying around you more than, you know, because sometimes a lot of times we get ahead of ourselves and it's like we start hearing a conversation. You're thinking, oh, you're thinking about your reply to the question rather than actually taking in what's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to, and the kids are seeing the effects that, A, when we're having this conversation with them, but we're also doing that with them as well. And in doing so, teaching them to use that skill as well. So I think they're actually becoming better communicators and they're seeing what a good marriage has going for us. They see how happy we are, and as compared to, you know, some of the friends that they've had in school, you know, they hear about, you know, the problems that the parents of their friends are having. And so having that contrast, it's guiding them towards the good, as I'd say,
mm-hmm.
is they're seeing it's a good example for how to live your life.
Yeah. 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 I've often heard it said, and Crystal, you can comment on this, is that the best thing parents can do for their kids is love each other. Because sometimes we want to go straight to the kids and love the kids, but really the kids want us to love our spouses.
Right.
What would you add to that?
I would definitely agree. A lot of us today in sort of the formative years of our kids, the focus is on the children. And we try really hard to remind ourselves and the boys, they are the fruit of our love. So it's not mom first or dad first. It's the marriage first. And you are the fruit of our love. So we try to use visual tools as well. So at Mass, we used to, right? We're outnumbered when they were little, divide and conquer, right? We would sit, you know, kid, parent, you know, and yeah. God help the third one, right? and then through marriage encounter, we've realized and, you know, picked up on things. So we sit as a unit and we explain that to them. And so it's a witness to us and them. But I will say, we were listening to Mortal Life one day on driving to co-op, and they were talking about marriage. I'll just share this quick story. I turned off the radio. I got really brave. I was kind of scared to ask the question, but I asked our kids if they thought we had a good marriage. And I thought, oh, Lord, here goes whatever they're going to say.
Yeah.
And they said yes. And the takeaway for them was there's a difference between saying I'm sorry and asking for forgiveness, because it allows reparation in the relationship.
Mm.
That's something that we have learned and we have passed on to our kids, and they witness that.
Yeah.
So it's not about not messing up. It's about how we rectify and repair the relationship. So we do that with one another in our marriage and with our children. They now do that with one another as three rambunctious teens, right? And to hear from our boys their testament to our marriage, I think is better than any brochure or website mm-hmm. you can go to, right? That is the best witness. And we are super grateful that they see that in us. And that is really a gift that our whole family has received from Marriage Encounter.
Yeah. And I'm just, as you say this, this question comes into my mind is that, you know, marriage, of course, in scripture is everywhere, you know, from the marriage feast to the wedding. Marriage is, you know, Christ is the bridegroom. And I think it's an evangelization tool that a good marriage makes people say, wow, there must be something about your Catholic faith, your love of the Lord that's bringing it together. So you mentioned that, and Joe, perhaps you can answer this one, that other people have noticed that they y'all have a good marriage. What do people even outside your three sons say about that?
Actually, Crystal has a great example of that one. We were actually discussing that on the way over here. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Tell them that one.
Okay. Well, you were there too, but okay.
I know, but she talked to you.
All right. So real quick, a few years ago, all our boys did baseball, but a few years ago, we were at an end of season baseball party with all the parents from the team. And we were just in a backyard at the coach's house, and we were sitting together. We were probably holding hands. We were talking to one another and the other parents. And I got up for a moment, and a mom looked at me and said, "Are you recently married?" And I went, "I beg your pardon." And she said, It's just the way you interact with one another. And it threw me because it's different when you're on, right? Let's say you're doing a presentation or you're responsible for information and presenting something about a marriage, but we couldn't be more off, right? We were poolside in a backyard just being us.
Yeah.
And she witnessed that. And she wasn't Catholic. She didn't know anything about it. And I said, no, we've learned tools from a marriage ministry we're involved in, and it became a conversation starter. Yeah. And I think because, just like in anything, when you benefit, you want others to benefit because you care about them. Yeah. And I think that's why we really want and encourage people to apply to Make a Weekend, because we would love for them to benefit the way we have. There's nothing special about us other than we were open to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And when you're open to the Holy Spirit, we all know amazing things happen. And it's very timely. Lent is a transformative time. Transform our marriage from good to better, whatever it may be. And there's a promo actually now going on.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, just yesterday at Mass, my wife noticed the couple in front of us who we did not know. And as they were leaving the church, they went to the water, holy water fount, and he blessed her and she blessed him. And it touched my wife so much. I don't even know who these people are. I think they were visiting our parish, but their marriage and the way they acted towards each other, maybe they went on a worldwide marriage encounter at some point down the road. My guests are Joe and Crystal Dooling. We only have about one or two more minutes, but I want to get the nuts and bolts from whoever wants to give it. People listening right now, and they're encouraged. What should they do? What's the first step? And anything you guys want to say, either one of you can jump in and say that.
Go to wwme.org/apply and apply for the weekend coming up in April. It's no better time than to do it now. It's like if you're thinking about it and you have the ability, go there now, apply. And understand that this isn't just the weekend. It's like we talk about it, the encounter is there is community afterwards. And we are married couples supporting other married couples.
Yes. And again, that website, WWME, as in Worldwide Marriage Encounter.org, WWME.org. Yeah. And last thing.
Yeah. I was just going to share that, right now there's a promo this week. If you apply, this week, the promo code is Patrick. You get $50 off the application fee. Every little bit helps. We're never going to turn away a couple for financial reasons, but sometimes just that little bit helps, right? Every little bit helps. So again, it's just wwme.org. And if you apply this week, you get $50 off. And we pray that it is a good time for anyone listening if they're feeling nudged by the Holy Spirit.
And that keyword is Patrick, right?
Yes, Patrick.
Wow, how did you think of that? What was the connection?
Right?
all right, well, thanks so much. You all are a beautiful couple. I noticed at the moment you walked through the door, I could tell. It wasn't even before I started talking to y'all, I could tell. And I took a picture of them. We'll put it up on our Facebook page along with a little, the promo code is on this ad, which I'll pop up on our Facebook page as well. Joe and Crystal Dooling, DFW, East Texas, Encounter leaders, DFWET Encounter leaders. And if you want more information, go to that website, wwme.org. Thanks to both of you. Great to meet you. Thank you very much.
Dave.
All right. This is a Good News Show, and we are going to take a 3-minute break, and we are going to welcome Father Eugene O'Donnell and also Patty Hidalgo talking about the Ablaze retreat coming up towards the end of April for high school teenagers. And this is a really, really good opportunity for your teenagers to get closer to the Lord with the Franciscan Friars. So more on that right after this break.
All KATH listeners are invited again this year for Irish Eyes Are Smiling on Bella House.
Saturday, March 22nd from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at St. Rita Catholic Church in Dallas.
With live music and dancing featuring Beyond the Pale, traditional Irish food from Maguire's, and fun for the whole family.
Bella House is a faith-based home for pregnant, homeless mothers and their babies, celebrating the beauty of every life.
For more details and to purchase tickets,
visit bellahouse.org.
Sounds great.
Sure it is.
Hi, ladies. I'm Tracy Santangelo, owner of Birthpoint, a new sponsor on the GRN. We at Birthpoint would love to speak to you about well woman visits. Our certified nurse midwives can provide care for your needs, from routine exams to reproductive health guidance, in an environment where you can ask questions and discuss any health concerns you have. You can schedule your next well woman visit by calling 972-215-6934 or by visiting birthpoint.com. That's birthpoint with an E.com.
GRN family, this is Toya Hall, COO of the GRN, and I have an exciting invitation for you. Join us on Saturday, July the 19th at the Plano Event Center in the Dallas, Texas area for our 25th Jubilee Anniversary Celebration. The event is free, but you need to register to attend, so go to grnonline.com right away.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your financial decisions? With the Knights of Columbus, you can pursue financial stability, but more importantly, you can do so in a way that is compatible with the Catholic teaching. For more than 140 years, they have helped families guard their financial future. Today, they have expanded their offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Your faith can inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. You can learn more by calling Chris Stark at 844-656-1492.
Experience your personal encounter with Jesus. St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church presents Come and See, Evenings of Reflection. The Come and See 9-week series will begin on Thursday evening, May 1st, from 7 to 9 p.m. at St. Mark the Evangelist Great Hall in Plano. Let God write the script of your life. Space is limited. Advance registration is required. For more information or to register, visit St. Mark the Evangelist website at stmarkplano.org and search Come and See.
Welcome back to...
Our mission at home and at work is to live our Catholic faith. That's one reason why at Mid-Cities Dental, we support Catholic Radio. I'm Dr. Kyle Eberline, a proud longtime supporter of Guadalupe Radio Network and a dentist in the Mid-Cities area with locations in Hearst and Bedford. If you're in need of dental care and would like help in finding a solution for your budget, you can find us online at midcitiesdental.com.
All right, welcome back. This is the Good News Show, and it is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, and we are so happy to have our next topic of conversation. I'm very, very excited to welcome back two friends who I have known, well, with Patty Hidalgo. I've known her and her sisters and her mom for a couple decades at least, and also Father Eugene O'Donnell, who has been here a number of times talking about couples prayer. He is parochial vicar over at Holy Family of Nazareth Parish in Irving. And the topic today is the Ablaze Retreat, a fun, faith-filled Eucharistic youth retreat led by the Franciscan Friars and Sisters of the Renewal from New York. It's sponsored by the Diocesan Office of Vocations in the Dallas Diocese and being hosted by Holy Family Catholic Church in Irving. It is going to be Divine Mercy Weekend, April 25th through the 27th. It's for 8th through 12th graders. The cost is only $60, and that covers registration, meals, and lots of snacks. AblazeRetreat.com, AblazeRetreat.com. Thanks to both of you for being here. Good to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And Father, I got to ask you, a name like O'Donnell, is this a special day for you, St. Patrick's Day? Or are you 100% Irish?
Well, no, not 100%, but on the Irish side of my family, I'm second-generation American.
Okay.
It had been a big day for my father.
Oh, yeah, super. Well, I married an Irish woman, so it's certainly a big day in the Palmer household as well. So, sure. Patty, I appreciate you reaching out about this. And for those who don't know the history of Ablaze, it used to be called Youth 2000, and it's been going on for a long time. I learned through the notes that you sent me, the first one ever was in Medjugorje.
It was.
So tell us about the history and some of the fruits that's come from these retreats.
Yeah, well, there was a young man from England named Ernest Williams who had gone to Medjugorje, and he felt like the Blessed Mother was asking him or calling him to bring young people to her, and she would lead them to her son Jesus. And I don't remember all the details about it because it's been a while since I heard the story, but I believe that he sort of saw like young people
in a gymnasium or in a church, all kneeling around the Blessed Sacrament and adoring Jesus. And so, so the first retreat they had, you know, was sort of led by Ernest. And, so one of the people that attended that was a family was from here, from Dallas. And so they decided to bring it back to Dallas and, you know, to the United States. So in 1992, they had the first Youth 2000 here at UD. And it was huge. I mean, I attended it. I think I was in eighth grade when I attended it. And, so it was probably a couple thousand kids from all over the world. So it was an international one. And it was just so powerful. Actually, a priest came in from Ireland to do the music and the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal came and did it from that very first one. And so I don't know how many there have been, but I would say at least 1,000 in the United States. I mean, you know, every other weekend, sometimes there have been two a weekend throughout the country.
Really? Wow, yeah, I didn't realize there were that many.
Oh, yeah, it's busy.
Yeah. So Father Eugene, how did you get involved and why Holy Family of Nazareth? What's the connection with the parish?
They were looking for a venue last year. They ran into problems with the one they were going to use, and so they contacted us. And they asked me to hear confessions, and I was in there listening to hearing confessions. And watching this whole thing, it was just incredible. And so we started talking. I said, you should just come back here. And they did. And so very supportive of them because what they do is so beautiful. And I think what it does is it draws out the vocation, but it's not just the vocation to the priesthood or the religious life. It's who you're created to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you find that person, and that's the essence of human flourishing is to become the person God created you to be.
Yeah, that's for sure. And how many people can Holy Family hold? Will it be in the main sanctuary, or do you have a hall?
It's actually in the gym.
Oh, the gym. Okay. Yes. Yeah, that's hopefully a lot of people, because I know this is very popular. And Patty, talk about the connection with the CFRs, the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal out of New York, the Grey Friars, sometimes they're called.
Yeah.
They've always been involved in this. And what is their particular charism that makes them so powerful in these retreats?
Well, they have such a beautiful way of dealing with young people. Anyone who knows the Franciscan, the CFRs, as they're often called, they're very, you know, obviously very spiritual and love the Lord, but they have a very good way of relating with young people. So when they came and did that first retreat at UD, I mean, it was sort of like a match made in heaven, you know, because they're very relatable. I would say that if you know the CFR friars and sisters, they're very down to earth. Mm-hmm. And I think it speaks to young people, but their faith is so alive. And so they're great. They're wonderful and very Eucharistic. And so they have, although there have been other religious communities, a lot of religious communities that help throughout the country, the Nashville Dominicans and the, many, many others, diocesan and religious. But the CFRs have stayed with it. All these 30 years they've been doing them throughout the country and really throughout the world.
And you mentioned that in that first one you went, and I've got a whole bunch of sisters, and I know probably all your sisters have been involved in this as well.
We were all there.
Tina Harrows, that's your maiden name. And how did it touch you personally? And I'm sure you didn't only go on one. You may have been on subsequent. How has it changed you?
Well, I just remember at that first retreat. I mean, I can still visualize when they, so the kids are, they built something called a burning bush. It's like a wooden structure, you know, coming from the story of Moses, where Moses met Jesus God in the burning bush. So they build this wooden structure that has candles all around it. And then the Blessed Sacrament's on top the whole weekend. So the kids, you know, sit on the floor around the burning bush. And on Saturday night, the priest brings the Blessed Sacrament around to each kid. And I remember, like, just maybe the first time in my life, I mean, we grew up very Catholic and involved and, you know, very faithful parents and stuff, but like really having a connection with Jesus when the priest brought the Blessed Sacrament around. And so my sisters and I have stayed, you know, involved throughout our whole lives, you know, and still just helping as much as I can, you know, put on these retreats.
Yes. And Father, I want to get your thoughts on Eucharistic adoration and how powerful that can be, particularly for young people. I remember being involved at one of these retreats at Nolan Catholic High School. It must have been probably 10 years ago. It was a long time. And, you know, of course, probably over 1,000 kids. And I remember going into the restroom and it was in the, and the guys were all kind of, you know, they're being high school boys and cutting up and this and that. And then they had adoration, and you had 1,000 kids in that gym, and you couldn't hear a pin drop. Mm. And I was like, what else other than Jesus can get all of these kids? Because these are still teenagers, but there was a power. Well, we know what that power is, but it was amazing. So for a young person in exposed to Jesus, what has been your experience, Father?
Well, it's beautiful. I do the same thing. If I'm doing that, I take the monstrance and walk through the crowd, through the group with Jesus, because it's a powerful experience for them. And it has to be the Lord, right? Because you just see him working.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a lot of convergence there. If someone doesn't even maybe believe in the real presence, or maybe that person isn't even Catholic, they'll feel that peace. They'll feel something. It starts something. It's beautiful.
Yeah. This is the 25th through the 27th of April, Friday through Sunday. It's not a sleepover, right? So you they come, they go home, they come back the next day.
That's right.
And my first thought is like, wow, how do you keep, you know, teenagers, you know, air quote, entertained, which I know it's not just about entertainment, but how do you keep their focus into it and keep them coming back every day for 3 days? What kind
really
of activities?
I really think they're hungering for this. We just went I took a group of kids to DCYC, and similarly, kids want the faith, you know, uh-huh. They want the Catholic Church, they want God. And so it is pretty amazing to see, like, these kids who do come back and come back year after year. In fact, when I was at DCYC, got in a conversation with another chaperone there, and she was saying, man, I wish we had Youth 2000 in our diocese. And I'm like, we do. It's just changed names. But she was saying that when she was young, that, you know, she loved it, and that made her want to serve, you know, the youth now. And so she's now a youth minister at St. San Juan Santa Teresita.
Okay.
And, I mean, I think that we think that maybe loud music and games and all that, while that can be fun and good too, that's really what's going to draw the kids. But I think that sometimes when we try and do that too much, you know, mm-hmm. without really giving them the meat of the faith, they kind of see through it. But I think they want the meat of the faith, you know, they want God. And so they really do respond well. On Sunday, they do testimonies. The kids can come up and give a 2 to 3 minute testimony. And they usually have to stop it, you know, with lines of kids still wanting to give their testimony, because so many kids are touched by it.
And when they arrive on Friday,
they don't necessarily want to be there.
Yeah, right. And that is a question. What do you, because probably more parents are listening now than you know, teenagers. For the parent who's thinking like, oh gosh, my kid's probably going to resist going. What would you say? Is this, would you encourage, you know, coercion and like, you're going, or what would be the best approach to a teenager?
Well, I'll tell you just a real quick story. There's one of the Franciscan friars of the Renewal, Father Pio Maria, who's from Louisiana. He always tells the story that his mom, like, paid him $75 to go to a Youth 2000 because he was like a skater, not like into the faith at all. And from that, like, he had his conversion at that Youth 2000 and mm-hmm. then now as a priest, you know? So I think that sometimes, you know, you're the parents, you make the decisions about where they're going to go to school and about what they're going to, you know, wear and, you know, so many things. Yeah. Sometimes it does, and I'm a parent myself, I have 4 kids. Sometimes it does, you know, take some prodding or forcing, mm-hmm. but God can do amazing things. I think it's just getting them in the door, and then it really does speak to their hearts.
Yeah. And Father, some people may not realize this if they didn't hear our previous interviews, but you are a priest, but you also have children.
Right.
So you raised teenagers. And
I did,
so
yes.
This is not something that you're unfamiliar with.
Yes.
And so what would your advice be for parents to try to encourage their kids to go?
I would almost insist also. I wish I would have known about it when I was raising my daughters, because it probably would have made a world of difference. Because, you know, she said that they learned the meat of the faith, but through an encounter. It's not like it's a lecture. It's not like it's a class.
Yeah.
It's an encounter. It's an incredible experience. And I, you know, I was, I think maybe you have a hard time getting him in the door in the mm-hmm. beginning. I think you have a more difficult time getting them to leave when it's over because mm-hmm. they fall in love.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned all these testimonies. Let me ask 8th through 12th graders, are there any exceptions for that? A mature 7th grader, is that pretty much exactly who can go?
I think that there's exceptions made.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And can they register individually? Do they need to be a part of a youth group or what?
They can register individually. The only thing is that they do have to have a chaperone. So, like, one parent could come. But if they contact, you can get on the website and contact us. We've been able to have kids come with a group.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the groups are willing to have, a few kids come in from other places. So yeah. And then other families just come, one of the parents and a couple kids or whatever. So yeah, if you just contact us, the registration, forms and everything are on the website. But if anyone has any questions or, wants to try and make it work for their individual kids, just give us a call or email us and we'll be glad to help out.
Yeah. I love that you say that there's testimonies at the end on Sunday because, a lot of kids would be embarrassed to get up in front of a thousand of their peers and talk about their faith. But you say a lot of them do that. You may not remember specific ones, but generally, what do they say? What kind of comments are made at the end of these retreats?
Well, a lot of, they're very broken. So many, all of us, have a lot of woundedness in this difficult culture, but I think that a very common thing is that they realize that Jesus is there for them. Like Father said, they encounter Jesus and all of them, I would say almost all of them say that they loved getting to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament or they heard Jesus speaking to them. And another powerful thing is confessions. Like they have great experiences in the confessions. Thankfully, we have so many good priests who come throughout the weekend. We have confession all weekend and there's line of 50 kids mm-hmm. constantly, yeah. In line. Yeah. It never goes down. And so I just think those opportunities they have to bring their woundedness and their sin and then to encounter Jesus there, who's always willing to give mercy and love to them, So I think it's great.
I think it's something that Father, we should really highlight is that this is not just for the kids that have halos over their head, because some people may think like, I don't know if I want to bring my kid because, they don't even like going to mass or, they got in trouble or they got suspended from school but really in many ways that's exactly who this is for, isn't it?
It is, and when they come into confession you can tell that they've had this heartfelt experience, like Jesus got to their heart and that's what it's all about, and it can literally change their life.
There was a young lady last year who had kind of a bad attitude. Her chaperones were, I think she was being forced there for a confirmation retreat. She had purple hair and was just like writing in a book the whole time. But by Sunday, she crowned the Blessed Mother. Like she volunteered to do a little procession on Sunday, at the end of the retreat to consecrate all of ourselves to the Blessed Mother. And she wanted to bring up the crown. Like that tells you, how it is. These kids really experience.
$60, that seems like nothing for a whole weekend, including the meals. Obviously, you're just trying to cover costs. Yeah. So $60, that's it per child, right?
Yeah, and there's, of course, they've never turned anybody away who cannot pay, So if there's anybody with a hardship, there's scholarships available. And it's pretty minimal. I mean, usually retreats, I know my kids, I send them on other retreats are a couple $100s, but really they try and keep the price down so that it's available to everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be in the Easter season.
That's right.
Divine Mercy Weekend, which I think it's always been that case, at least as I can remember.
For many years.
April 25th through the 27th, it's an ablaze retreat, fun, faith-filled, Eucharistic youth retreat led by the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal and the Sisters the Renewal. These are the men and women from the Friars.
I think we have six friars coming down from New York and two sisters this
year. Oh, that is awesome.
So yeah, and then I know the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth will be there, and some Cistercians are going to be there to hear confession. So we'll have a good amount of religious there.
AblazeRetreat.com, AblazeRetreat.com. My guests are Father Eugene O'Donnell, parochial vicar at Holy Family of Nazareth Parish in Irving. Been a priest now 2 years?
2 years.
Is that right? See, I remember being at that St. Jude in that big group, I think 8 of you that got ordained the same time. And also Patty Hidalgo. And she and her husband have how many kids?
Four kids.
Yeah. And so this is for 8th through 12th graders. It is going to be the weekend of April 25th through the 27th, led by the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. And so this is something that, obviously, you're doing this in the Dallas Diocese, and so is the Dallas Chancery Office behind this, or what is the involvement with the diocese?
Oh, yeah. So the diocese has always, you know, supported it, and so right now, well, when Father Edwin Leonard was the head of vocations, he approached the organizers, you know, and said, I want, because for a few years it had not been in the diocese. It kind of moved over to the Diocese of Fort Worth, and he really wanted it back here in the Diocese of Dallas. And so the vocations office has remained the ones, you know, who sponsor it. Although it's not a vocational, you know, it's not a vocations retreat. It's for just a youth retreat. But they have continued to sponsor it and have been really helpful and gotten priests for us for confessions. And yeah, so it's wonderful to have their support.
And I've interviewed a number of seminarians, and I know that many of them have told me that it was a instance at a retreat. It may or may not have been this exact retreat, but they said something that was said, or maybe something in confession at a retreat like this, was the first kind of seed, or maybe the confirmation that they did have a vocation to the priesthood, or for the ladies a vocation to religious life. So, Father, this is a good opportunity for discernment in that way. Like Patty said, this isn't just about vocations, but it is at the same time an opportunity for somebody that may hear that call, right?
Definitely. For any religious or consecrated priests, whatever you're thinking, maybe feel that in your heart, that's a good place to start, because he'll speak to you, and he'll either confirm it, maybe confirm it, or at least give you incentive to check into it further. So, yeah, it's a win-win no matter how you come out of it, because there's going to be a confirmation of something in your life to give you some type of direction.
Yeah, amen. Down to just a last few minutes here on the Good News Show. And again, Patty Hidalgo and also Father Eugene O'Donnell here with me talking about a Blaze Retreat. AblazeRetreat.com is the website. It's going to be the weekend of April 25th through the 27th. And I just want to give you all an opportunity as we close out, whatever else you'd like to say to encourage people to sign up their kids, 8th through 12th graders. Patty first, and then we'll have Father say, and also give us a blessing if you would.
Yeah, I've always thought that kids, I feel like the world hits them like a tidal wave. Like there's, you know, a little piece of sand with a tidal wave coming at them. And the world is hard on young people today. And really the answer is Jesus, you know, it's and the beauty of the Catholic faith. And I would say that I've for years, you know, I've been working with youth for years, that one opportunity, one chance that they have to open up their hearts to Jesus can lead to, like, it can change the trajectory of their life. And maybe even if they fall away. But I really believe that if they, in an instant, open their heart to Jesus and invite him in, that God honors that, you know, and will bring them back. And so that's really what I think Ablaze is about, just giving them the opportunity to open up their heart to Jesus. And so it's so worth it, you know, it's hard. Parents have to drive back and forth, you know, to bring their kids, but it's so worth it because they have an opportunity to really open up their hearts to God.
But it is centrally located in the Metroplex,
you know,
Irving's pretty central. One quick question, Patty, then we'll go to Father to close things out. I know kids are going to ask this. Are they allowed to have their cell phones during the retreat?
Yep. They aren't. We asked them to turn them off just because they would be going off constantly. So, but yeah, they don't take them away from them or
all right. I know that question's going to be asked by some of these kids. They're going to take away my cell phone.
Yeah.
Father, anything else you want to add? And then if you don't mind providing a blessing to our listeners, we'd be thankful.
Sure. No, I would just encourage the parents to, they would take their children to get vaccinated. They take them to the doctor because it's for their own health. They make them go to school because it's for their own good. But the most important thing is come to know our Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And they can encounter him here. And I guarantee you the kids that have been before, they'll come back because it's such a powerful experience. And so if I was the parent, I would not be afraid to suggest strongly to my children that they should go to this. It'd be good for them. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And, you know, and the other thing is you make some new friends. I mean, even just from a personal level, you might make some new friends. And, you know, it's fun. I mean, gosh, when I was a high school kid, I loved being around all kinds of other high schoolers. Father, would you mind providing a blessing to close this out?
Sure. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we ask you to put on the hearts of all the parents listening to encourage your children to attend this, not as a penance, but as a treat, as a retreat, and so they can encounter our Lord in a more powerful way, and in so many ways protect them from the culture, so they can grow up healthy and happy. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come upon all of you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Father Eugene O'Donnell, parochial vicar at Holy Family of Nazareth Church in Irving, and also Patty Hidalgo as well, representing the Ablaze Retreats. Go to ablazeretreat.com, ablazeretreat.com. It's going to be April 25th through the 27th, so you still have more than a month to plan this. But get online and register your kids for $60. Also, just want to remind you of the website for the Worldwide Marriage Encounter. Very easy to remember, www.me.org. WWME.org is in Worldwide Marriage Encounter. They have Worldwide Marriage Encounters coming up the first weekend of April, also July 11th through the 13th, and also October 17th through the 19th. And this has been a fun show. So thanks to all the guests. Thanks to Cecil for running the board. And thank you for listening. It wouldn't make much sense if you weren't listening to do this. God bless you and have a great rest of your St. Patrick's Day. And thanks for listening to the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show. KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth Network. Radio for your soul.